Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Nun Hey. I am unfortunately unable to see because I'm in the middle of a optical migraine, and Meishi wasn't able to get ready in time because it came on very suddenly. So I'm going to be finishing up with you very, very quickly. We have a short daf, and Bezrat Hashem, I'll go over it again tomorrow to make sure that we get it right. So we've been discussing the question of what the din is of the tomb of Eretz Ha'amim, whether it's mitam gush or mitam avira. We wanted to say that this itself was a machlokas, actually tanoi, and that the machlokas was in the case where somebody goes into Eretz Ha'amim, b'shidat teva u'migdal. So we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi. So Rabbi was mitami, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda was matayr. L'chora, the difference would be that if you hold that the avir itself is mitame, so then you're not protected from the tuma just because you're in an oyel, because the avir has nothing to do with tuma's oyel, and it'll sneak in your air conditioner vents, if in fact it really requires literally air. But the point is, it's not a din in tuma's oyel. Mashen ken Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is mitayer. He holds that you're protected from tuma's oyel because you're in an oyel. And that's Mechoyt say. It's obviously, it's talking about that it's the size that is able to protect the oil from Tuma. And therefore, it's talking about that it's Me'al Arba Yimsa'ah, and so on and so forth. But Lomais, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, in those circumstances, you would be protected. So accordingly, he must hold that the din is a halacha in Gush. And therefore, if you're protected from exposure to the Gush and the oil, so we're talking about a regular oil that would protect you. Seems to be a machlokas tanoim. Is it mishum avir or is it mishum gush? Now the Gemara, we did this yesterday, I'm just reviewing quickly, but the Gemara had suggested that no, that's not necessarily the case at all. Because actually, the machlokas could boil down to the issue of whether an oil like this, which is moving, is considered to be an oil or not. So it could be that everybody is made of it. There's not such thing as an avir. Tuma, and this is a standard tuma that the Rabbanu regards as Mishum Gush. The only question is, even though you have a perfectly good oil, once it starts moving, it's not considered to be an oil anymore, because oil zaruk lav shemei oil. And therefore, Tainiz Rebbe that you're tame because you're not in an oil, not because it's a tuma of avir. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's actually talking about an oil that is going to be protected, because he holds that an oil zaruk is also considered to be an oil. Now, there's two ways of learning the next piece. One is that this is a kasha. Asks the Gemara of Tanya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tevashi, Melaya Kelim, those of you who have arrived late, please be merchol me. I'm in the middle of a migraine and I can't see anything. And so because of that, I'm going to try to run through this as quickly as possible, make it shorter than I normally would have, and I won't go on till the next Talmud. And I just reviewed, those of you who arrived late, I just reviewed the machlokas that we had, and now we're starting the new sugya that we didn't, not the new sugya, but the new kasha that we asked on yesterday's possible interpretation. So how are we interpreting the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? It turns out that the interpretation that it's a machlokas about all the Zoruk is not a good interpretation, because of Atanya. It says in the price, so that according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Tevashi, Melaya Kelim, Tmeya, it's Vizorka, Pnei Hamed. Now, the question over here is whether it's Zoruk, Pnei Hamed, Be'ohel, which doesn't seem to make sense. Most of the Rishonim have taken out, because it has nothing to do with being in an oil. It has to do with forming an oil directly over the maid. So let's take the simple case. You would, through this oil, and obviously, if we're talking about something which is the size of our Arba'im Sa'ah, so it means that somehow or other it is flying over, and however it is that it's, you know, gravity repulsors, or whether it was thrown out of a cannon, or whatever the situation is. But the din is that if it is flying through the air over the mace, so then the halacha is that anything inside of it is considered to be tmiyah. But if it's on the ground, then it's tahar. And this is said by Rabbi Yossi by Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the problem is that that means that Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda is the one who is saying that if it's an Ohel Zoruk, that it is actually considered to be Tameh because of the fact that it's an Ohel Zoruk. So we can't say that the reason Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda says in our Shita, where we're talking about going through the Eretz Ha'amim, we're not talking about going over a mate, we can't say that the reason is that he's the one that is Matayer because he holds an Ohel Zoruk is actually considered to be an Ohel, this destroys it. And therefore, we say, Ella, we have to give another solution. That's one approach. The other approach takes out the word Ella and views this as a Raya and not as a Kasha. And how is it a Raya? The Raya is from the fact that we're making the distinction between something that is carried along the ground. When it says munachat, it doesn't mean munachat that it's not moving. When we say munachat, we mean that it's being carried on the ground. So let's say it's on the back of people, animals, whatever it is. It's rolling along on tires. In all of those cases, it's attached to the ground. And therefore, it would certainly, in that case, would certainly be a kosher oil. Note that the only place that Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda says otherwise is where the oil is actually flying through the air, however that was accomplished. So that is different because flying through the air is similar to the din of something that's on the back of a bird that flies over. And we learn out that if it's flying literally and not attached to the ground in any way, that then it's not considered to be an oil. So that would be the difference, in which case Vahatanya would not be a kasha. It would be a raya. Note that Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda says the only way that the things inside of the oil that goes over the mace or tame is if it's on its gravity thrusters, and therefore it's not considered to be an oil. But if it was munach, meaning that it's driving along the ground, not munach that it's still, so then apparently this is consistent with what we said before, and it proves our point that according to Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda, an oihel that is zoruk, literally, that is what is not matami. But if it's munach on the ground, even though it's moving, which would be the case of the shita teva of amigdal, which has been carried into the Eretz Ha'amim, so then it would be tahar, and that would explain exactly what we said, that according to Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda, an oihel that is moving is nonetheless considered to be an oihel. And therefore, the word Ella would be, of course, wouldn't make any sense, because Ella would mean, let me offer an alternative since you've shown me that I'm wrong. According to this approach, the Vahatanya is showing me that I'm right. So therefore, we change the girsa from the word Ella into Ibait Ema. Let me give you an alternative explanation. This was a good explanation. Let's try a new one. Maybe actually just the opposite. Maybe instead of saying that both Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda and Rebbe hold that it's a tumah mishum gusha, let's flip it, and let's say that the tumah is mishum avira, and the question is over here, even Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda says that your Torah is meida, that there ought to be a tumah. However, since we have a general rule, since we have a general rule that the Rabbanan do not make gezeiros in ways that will affect something that will almost never occur. So let's go to Dover Delo Shchicha. And that's the question. To put somebody literally in a Shita Teva of a Migdal. I mean, we're not talking about a helicopter now. We're talking about putting him into a clothes closet, you know, or putting him into a trunk that was going to be lifted onto a ship for taking on a cruise. That's not considered to be the normal way of travel. And so because of that, if we're carrying somebody in a Shita Teva Migdal, which is really weird, and he's not driving and he's not traveling in a way that's typical. So in such a case, because that's not a normal way to enter into Eretz Ha'amim, the Avir was not gozer in ways that are unusual. But if you're traveling in a plane or a helicopter or something normal, so then Enoch Inami, even Rabbi Yossi Reb Yehuda, would have agreed that the din is that you would be makabel tumah because of avir, and we're not dealing with this as if it's gush, and therefore it's a milsur lo shchicha lo gozer. Mashenkin Rabbi holds, even though it's lo shchicha, this is a general gezerah, once it incorporates traveling in a helicopter, So it also incorporates traveling in a steamer trunk, you know. I mean, you're right, it's not normal, but it's not a separate gazera. And then if, therefore, it's included. And in fact, we could see that that's true, Vatanya. And Iknas, where it's Amin Bashira Teva Migdal, it says he's tar. But if he was actually in a normal Karon, so he was driving through in a car, or he was traveling on a speedboat, or he was in Richie's Iskaria, which is a good-sized sailing vessel. A sailing vessel, all of those things are normal. And therefore, he's tamei. Well, what's the difference whether you're in a steamer trunk, where we're saying you're tar, or if you are in a Richie boat? Should be exactly the same. But the difference is that one is typical, a normal way to travel, and the other one is not a normal way to travel. And therefore, we see that that is, in fact, the central point. Okay? That was another way of learning it. We even have an additional way. Or we could say, V'ibois ima, maybe let's give up on assuming that everything was about avir. Let's go back again and say that we're talking about gush. And nonetheless, we could explain this without having any need to explain everything in terms of a machlokas about whether it is gush or whether it is avir. I could say to you, v'ibaisema, that actually it's all mishum gusha, and the question over here is a gezeira. The truth is, you are protected, and everybody's made it if you're being carried inside of this closet. Maisa, that's a perfectly good, perfectly good kind of oh yeah. The only problem is that we are concerned. And that is because most of the time people will look out the window and they'll put their elbow on the windows. And that way there'll be a little bit of themselves sticking out over the land of Eretz Ha'amim, which because we're guys are because of Gush, the way we're understanding it now, would be Metameyu because of the Ohel over Gush Ha'amim. And that's the Machlokas. Maybe this is all a Gezerah. Shema Yotzi Rosho Verubo Lasham. And we see that actually there is exactly this kind of explanation, explaining why, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, it says in the Braisa, Anichnas Eretz Ha'ami B'Shidat Teva U'Migdal, Tohor. Now here's the point, unless he actually sticks out his elbows, his hands, his head, whatever, outside of the Karon. Okay, so clearly that was the entire issue, whether we have to worry or not. But basically what we're saying is that it would be a perfectly good ayah. So this seems to be built very clearly on our assumption before that there's a major difference between a flying ayah and a driving ayah. Now let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So the next piece of the Mishnah, which we spoke about when we were dealing with the Reisha of the Mishnah with the same words, Matchil Umoneh. So over here, it says that he's Matchil Umoneh Miyad. So after he finishes becoming Tahar from these Tumais, which are not Ma'akev, the counting of the Naziris, and it's not Seiser, and you don't bring a Korban and so on. So he starts immediately. Now the question is, included in this statement of beginning immediately is the one that we spoke about yesterday, which is if you're at a time of Chiluto or Sefiro. Now, those during that period, when a Metzera is Chalut, or when he's between the days, and that's 7 days between the time that the Kohen detected that he was cured, and he took the first shave, in which he cut off all of his body hair, and now he has to wait 7 days until he does the second giluach for the nazir and brings his karbonas and so on. So over here, the time in between, or the entire time, however much it is, maybe it's years that he was actually a metzora chalut, they're not included in the time of his naziris at all. Rav Chisda, now this is not necessarily as clear as you think. Because, I mean, if you're talking about, we said that we're not counting this, and lo shanu ela b'naziris mu'etet, So we're saying we're not counting the time that they're actually in the state of tzaras. But when you're talking about a mezirus meruba, which we think means anything beyond the shloshim yom, so we take a normal mezirus to shloshim yom, and mezirus meruba is beyond shloshim yom. So when we were talking about a long mezirus, so then we could even include the time of sefiro and the times of gomro, which is another way of saying chiluto, and they would count towards the actual time of the nazirah. So that means that what the problem is the very fact that he has to shave his hair. And if he's shaving his hair, then he's going to have to wait the necessary times. We have 30 days that he has to wait in order to be able to do his nazirahs, because he won't have hair since he cut it all off for his tzaras, and he can't complete his nazirahs until he finishes up with the tumas tzaras. But let's say we have enough time to regrow that hair, so then there's no problem of needing to have makeup time. Because anyway, if you have 30 days left, so you have 30 days left anyway to grow back your hair. So why can't you include in the, let's say, the 100 days, why can't we include the days in which he was actually a mitzorah? Because these things are not ma'akev as naziras. So therefore, tainas Rav Chisda, it would even be included mislak nami salkinle, and it would all be utilizable towards the shleimus of his naziras. Masiv Rav Shravi, so the question is, it appears from our Mishnah that we could bring a raya against what Rav Chisda is saying. Because in the Mishnah it clearly says that, I mean, forget about the order. It doesn't say it in this order, but basically it boils down to saying, Batchilo Moneh Miyad, but he's not going to be Vatel et HaKodmim. That's what we said. Now, tell me what the Mishnah means when it says that he's not being Mevatel the Kodmim. But my, what exactly is the case that he's not Mevatel the Kodmim? I mean, according to what you're saying, that what? The only time that we're not Mevatel the Kodmim, we're talking about a Naziris Mu'etes. If that's what we're referring to, so then when you say he's not Mevatel the Kodmim, that's impossible, because it boils down to being Mevatel the Kodmim, because he needs to regrow his hair anyway in order to be able to do a Tiglachas. So obviously, since Koboy Gidul Seyar, since he needs to be able to have hair in order to cut, to be mashlim the nazirus, so then the only way to understand this is el alav benazirut merumba. The Mishnah is telling us that even if you have, shlechora means the nazirus merumba, you're still going to have 30 days that are left in order for you to be gomer your nazirus. And it says over here that is matril umoneh miyat. So it says over here that you start, he say it's counting again immediately afterwards, which implies that while you were b'yamei sviro or b'yamei gomro, the halacha is that he was not counting, because it says matchil, he has to begin counting at that point, umodeh miyad, despite the fact that we're talking about a naziris meruba. But the problem is that this goes mamish against Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda says, if we've got time, then we wouldn't have to restart. What do you mean restart? There's no restart. If you've got 30 days left, so then you're going to have hair. So then you'll be able to count the entire time. So you see clearly from the Mishnah that Rav Chisda is wrong, and that we actually have to stop counting, and then matchil, we begin counting at that point. And then Rav Shravia understands himself that this isn't really much of a kasha, because what you've been doing is you're basically, you reduce the situation over here to a binary situation in which you have either 30 days or an Naziris Meruba, which is more than 30 days. And that obviously is not the point, according to Naziris, according to Rav Chisda, because humotivla, humafarakla, he realized the mistake that he was making, because the situation is very simple. Let's take something that is in between what we normally consider to be a Naziris Meruba, which is not just anything beyond 30 days, but leaves you a remainder of 30 days. That's the point. So let's say we're talking about 50 days, right? So then even according to Rav Chisda, the Mishnah makes perfectly good sense. Because according to Rav Chisda, what it's basically saying is, let's take, for example, a 50-day Naziris, right? Okay, so what happens over there? The guy had kept 20 days of his Naziris. He's left with an additional 30 days. Then he gets Tzaras. He has to wait until he finishes the Tzaras, which would be a minimum. He would have to have the Giluach and then another Giluach. And then he still has 30 days left. But if he still would have 30 days less left, so in that case, he would then keep 30 days more. That's the point. So over there, since he does have at that time anyway of his keeping 30 days, so then he would have enough hair that would be left, and we would keep the first 20 days, and we would allow those 20 days, but we would not keep the days in between, namely the days of Sefirah and the days of Gomrah, of any Chiluto. Why? Because we can't include them, because it's all very nice to theoretically include them, but they're not going to let you grow your hair back, because whenever it is that you finish cutting your hair, you're going to still need 30 days. That's what the case that we're referring to. So in that case, you begin again, and that would be, not again, I mean, begin from that point on to be mashlim. But that's because you need those 30 days to add to the 20 days in order to get 50 days. But the Mishnah was not telling you in any all circumstances, if you've got another year left, that you're going to have to add the days in which you were a mitzvah muchlat, or the days in which you were accounting your sphira between the two times in which you did the giluach. That certainly would not be true, in which case it would follow Rav Chisda to a T. And the only thing that was a little bit confusing was the use of the words Benaziris Meruba. But you could certainly understand a case in which it doesn't do us any good to include the days between the Giluach in the amount of time, because what good is that going to do you? Go ahead, go and include it. You're still going to need the same exact 30 days in order to be able to regrow your hair and to be able to end the Naziris. Masiv Rami Barchom. So the question that we do have against Rav Chisda is based on the following Mishnah, because the din over there is, let's say you have a case where Nazir is a Tomei, possibly a Tomei Meis, and possibly a Mitzera Muchlat. So there's a suffix over here about the nature of his Tzaras, a suffix about the nature of his tumah. We are not sure that he is a mitzera muchlat, and we're not sure that he's definitely tamei. So now we've got ourselves a real problem, because he cannot absolutely be sure of when it is that he's able to do the giluach. Remember, he cannot do the giluach on a suffix tzaras in the middle of his naziras, because a suffix is not going to be deicha. On the other hand, he cannot actually finish up with tzaras without doing that giluach, and he cannot be yotzi his giluach of the naziras if he hasn't first finished off his tzaras. And gentlemen, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to stop here. Smack bang in the middle, like I thought I would. And I do. So, okay, I apologize for rushing through this like this. And if I would have had just a little bit of warning, I would have been able to get Meshi to take over. But I hope that this was at least understandable up until here. And Baruch Hashem, it was a quick daf, so I didn't have to die. Okay. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.